Hello, and welcome to the Simple Faith Podcast from the Faith Formation for Children and Youth Department at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Austin, Texas. Our goal is to offer short and simple thoughts and reflections as part of our Faith Formation program. We hope you will find them helpful. This year's theme is Living Leisurely Through the Liturgical Year, and the title of today's podcast is A More Perfect Union. Today is Thursday, November 5th, 2020, 2 days after the general election. And as I write this podcast, we still do not have a winner of the presidential race. After a year of wild uncertainty, hostility, fear, and a thousand other experiences and emotions, it feels as though we are stuck in suspended animation, waiting to hear the final call. Our nation seems deeply divided, and many of us have hung our hopes for tomorrow on our favored candidate, only to experience elation if our candidate wins and devastation if our candidate loses. The first reading for yesterday's liturgy was from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It began like this: My beloved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is the one who, for his good purpose, works in you both to desire and to work. Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. At first, this passage could easily apply to each of us as individuals. After all, individualism is a significant part of our American identity. I am called to work out my salvation, for God works in me. I should do everything without grumbling, so I may be blameless and innocent in this world that is crooked and perverse. I will shine like a light in the world. Truth be told, that is one way to read Scripture. Following the prayer method of Lectio Divina, I read or listen to a passage of Scripture several times, sit quietly, and ask God to speak to me through the Word of God. And yes, if and when it feels as though the world is against us and we're stuck in a crooked and perverse generation, we are absolutely called to be faithful to our relationship with God, no matter the struggle. Early on, after the Jewish people had left Egypt and finally landed in the Promised Land, they told God they wanted a king like all the other nations surrounding them. They wanted a king to protect and defend them and to take care of them, or so they thought. What they couldn't see was that they had a unique covenantal relationship with God, or Yahweh, and that if they were faithful to God, God would be faithful to them. That was the covenant, the bond, the commitment. Yet God gave in to their request for a king, but also gave them a stern warning. In the first book of Samuel, Samuel himself warns the Jewish people, The governance of the king who will rule you will be as follows. He will take your sons and assign them to his chariots and horses, and they will run before his chariot. He will appoint from among them his commanders of thousands and of hundreds. He will make them do his plowing and harvesting and produce his weapons of war and chariotry. He will use your daughters as perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take your best fields, vineyards, and olive groves and give them to his servants. He will tithe your crops and grape harvests to give to his officials and his servants. He will take your male and female slaves as well as your best oxen and donkeys and use them to do his work. He will also tithe your flocks. As for you, you will become his slaves. On that day, you will cry out because of the king whom you have chosen. But the Lord will not answer you on that day. But the Jewish people did not listen, so God gave them their king, and what followed was generations of wandering between faithfulness and unfaithfulness, of the people turning from God and God calling them back, of their nation being destroyed and then rebuilt several times over. Is it possible we have become like the Jewish people, putting all our hopes and fears on the king we want and not the king the other side wants? Have we given up on our responsibility to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling because we'd rather have a king or a president who will do it for us? Have we made a false idol out of our political leaders and abdicated our own responsibility to be faithful to God? Would I rather vote for someone who promises to destroy my enemies than take a good look at why I can't see God in my fellow humans, all of whom were created by God as well? Those are definitely questions which deserve honest, soul-searching answers and deep prayer. Another approach to this scripture takes us back to the beginning of the chapter in Philippians. It begins like this. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also everyone for those of others. As we wait for the conclusion of this very bitter election cycle, as individuals, as Americans, and as members of the human race, we must take time to turn our glare of anger into a gaze of self-reflection, humility, prayer, and reconciliation. We must ask ourselves some questions. Am I hoping to have a king or president who will embody my individualism so I can feel empowered to focus on me and mine and watch out for my own interests? Have I made leaders into idols or false gods? If God were to call me to reconciliation with someone from the other side, could I hear that call? Or am I so caught up in the fight that the quiet voice of God is drowned out by anger? Do I honestly and consistently try to work out my own salvation and think that's enough, without leaning into the fullness of the truth as held by all of Catholic teaching? And finally, can I commit to follow the plea of St. Paul, to humbly regard others as more important than myself, looking out not for my own interests, but for those of others? Until and unless we can honestly dig into these questions as Christians, as individuals, and as human beings before God, we will only delude ourselves and never grow toward a more perfect union or the kingdom of God, and we will be destined to wander in the desert of our own division for generations to come.